Genesis chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahuzael, and Mahuzael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech, and Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. And Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naama. And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. We're going to be looking again at Genesis chapter 4, thinking about Cain and Abel, first two people to be born into this world. You say, well, I thought that was Adam and Eve. Well, they didn't exactly have the same kind of birth, did they? God created them in a special way. But these came in the normal way that we all have followed as well. And so we'll take a look at them this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father, please guide us and help us as we look into your word this morning. And give us something that will be helpful to us in our life day by day. Lord, we know we're all sons and daughters of Adam by nature, but we are sons and daughters of God by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we just rejoice in knowing that we have eternal life in the Lord Jesus. We do pray, our Father, that you will continue to watch over those who are going through difficult times right now. I think of Elena, it sounds like that she's really having a number of problems, and we pray that you will undertake for her and give her strength and courage and meet her needs day by day. We pray, dear Father, too, for Donna. She'll be having surgery on Friday. We pray that everything will go well for that and that she will be able to get around much better. And Lord, we just ask you to bless our church. Help us to reach out to others, bring more people in. We pray that we might be able to minister the word to those who come, and that you'll give us grace and strength to be able to carry out the work that you have given us all to do. May we work together in unity and harmony and serve you faithfully. We thank you for each one who is committed to this church and this task. And we just pray that we would continue on and be faithful and do your holy will. Father, we thank you for our country. We thank you for the freedom that we have. And we are glad that the crisis is over for the moment about the government. And we just pray that everything will be worked out concerning the safety and security of the nation, and that your will be accomplished through it all. Give our leaders much wisdom and understanding, and help them to work together and not work against each other. We just pray that your will would be accomplished in all these things. And we pray, Father, that you would give us a great spiritual revival in this nation. We desperately need that. We know that there's more and more ungodliness as we go along from year to year. It seems like things continually progress in the wrong direction. And we pray, O Lord, that you would give us a revival, that we might come back to a closer walk with you, that we might do that which is well-pleasing in your sight. Lord, help us to stand firm and strong upon your word and not be swayed by anything that would turn us aside. May your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we've been looking here in Genesis, we've seen the creation, that God made everything. He put it all together and put man and gave him a beautiful wife. I'm sure she was beautiful. God created her, didn't he? And they were there in the garden. We don't know how long, but they were there for quite some time. We saw last week how that temptation came along, the serpent. Satan himself came and tempted Eve and caused her to disobey God. God only gave them one commandment, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and yet they couldn't keep the one commandment. So they fell. He said, in the day that you eat of this tree, you'll surely die. And they died spiritually that day. They no longer had the fellowship with God that they had had before. And God had to come and kill an animal and cover them with the skins of the animal. The idea there is that blood was shed over their sin. And as we saw on our bulletin this morning, the verse on the front cover, if I can get it open again, it says, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So in a sense, God covered their nakedness, their sin, with the blood sacrifice. And now, we find here in chapter 4, a joyful event. It says that Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now you remember back in chapter 3 and verse 15, God gave him a promise. He says, speaking here to the serpent actually, he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And so it seems like Eve had the idea here that perhaps Cain would be this one that was coming to deliver them. I have gotten a man from the Lord. As if God was sending this one to be the Savior. This was her hope, at least, I guess. She was thinking that. And yet, of course, we see that unfortunately was not the case. But you can imagine the joy that came into their home with this new baby. I'm sure he was a beautiful baby. And she was all excited about it. And then in verse 2, it says, she again bare his brother Abel. And so they had two children now, two sons. I was looking here, Cain, the name that they gave him means acquired. In other words, she says, I have gotten the man from the Lord. So she was all excited about that. And Cain grew up to be a farmer, a tiller of the ground, like his father, Adam. Following in his father's footsteps. And no doubt they were very proud of him. Abel comes along later. His name means vanity. And it seems like they didn't put as much hope in him as they did in Cain. Talk about misplaced hope. We find out in the story here that Cain was the one who really disappointed everyone before it was over. But Abel didn't seem to be accepted as much, and she favored her firstborn, it seems. Now, that may be, I might be interpreting a little bit there, but at any rate, that's the way it looks. But Abel then became a keeper of sheep. Those were the two main occupations back in that day. Either farming or keeping the flocks. And so he chose to be a shepherd. And we find, you know, the first thing, both of these men were taught about the true God, no doubt. Adam and Eve, I'm sure, told them all about what they had experienced with God in the Garden of Eden and all of that. And the fact that they needed to worship him. Now, we find both of these men came and brought a sacrifice to God. I don't know how long this was. They apparently now have become adults in the process of time. It came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. So he brought what he had. And Abel also brought of the flock that he had and the fat thereof. That is the best that he had. And the picture there of the sacrifice that was offered up to God. Both of these men were seeking to worship God. And but it says that the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Abel's offering was accepted by God. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. So here we find a problem developing. We see acceptable and unacceptable worship. What Cain offered was accepted, was not accepted, because it was the fruit of his own hands. As we could say today, you know, these are two different kinds of religion. There's that which we accept by faith. We accept Christ by faith, and we accept the Word of God by faith, and we walk by faith. Or the other one is that we seek to do something to please God with our own efforts. And it seems like that's what Cain was doing here. He brought the fruit of the ground that had been cursed by God. You remember? And so his offering was not accepted, and Abel's was. Now, there may be several reasons why this would be, but throughout the Scriptures, we know that the sacrifices that God accepted were blood sacrifices, right? This was something that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, it says. And so whether or not they understood all of that, but they should have. I mean, you have to understand, how would they know to bring a sacrifice to begin with? Someone had to teach them, right? And no doubt God revealed to Adam and Eve the kind of sacrifice that he would accept. I mean, it seems to be obvious in looking at the text. They had to know to bring an offering, and that Cain disregarded the instructions he had received and brought something else. You see, he brought his own fruit rather than getting the proper sacrifice. And we know it says about Abel over in Hebrews 11, verse 4, if you want to look at that. Hebrews 11 and verse 4, it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Now see, it says that by faith Abel. So first of all, he had faith in what God had said, and he had faith in God that he would accept this sacrifice. He offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. There's nothing is said about Cain having faith. It seems like he was just going through the motions. I know I'm supposed to bring a sacrifice, so here I'm going to bring this fruit or this produce or whatever it is and offer that to God, and not regarding what he was supposed to bring. He didn't think it was that important. And here it says that Abel obtained witness that he was righteous. You see? So he was in a right standing with God. It says nothing about Cain being right with God, right? So there's the difference. A righteous person bringing the sacrifice that God required shows his faith in that God, right? And offering up what God required. And God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So, we find that he offered his sacrifice by faith. And it's true, it was a blood sacrifice, and perhaps that's also as intended here. But he did it by faith. And Abel went out of his way to please God. And he says, you know, without faith it's impossible to please God. But he had faith that he believed that God would hear and accept the sacrifice. that he offered. Now, I don't know what happened. You know, we read over when Elijah was on Mount Carmel, the pagans, the prophets of Baal, tried to offer up a sacrifice, you remember? And nothing happened. And when Elijah offered up his sacrifice to God at the evening time, fire came down from heaven and took it all away. So maybe that's what happened here with Abel's sacrifice. Perhaps fire came down and God accepted the sacrifice that he had offered. They had to know somehow that God had accepted his sacrifice. So perhaps that's what happened. But Abel's actions were righteous, and it says that Cain's were evil. Let's look over in 1 John 3:12. Gives us another comment about this. 1 John 3:12. Well, let me read verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. You see? Here again it says about Cain, he was of that wicked one, Satan. So his heart was not right with God. He was not righteous. And everything he did was done for a different reason. It wasn't for because he loved God or loved his brother, obviously. It says we are to love one another, not as Cain. He is following after Satan, and he killed his brother. And he killed his brother because his works were evil and his brothers are righteous. You see? There's the difference. That he was jealous, envious, angry because God did not accept his sacrifice, and he took it out on his brother. So it shows forth his frame of mind, and that he was following after the after Satan himself, and after the wrong direction. He was of that evil one, it says. Also, it talks about another one here in Jude 11. Let's look at that while we're here. Jude 11, it talks about the way of Cain. What is the way of Cain? That's Jude 11. It says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. So Jude here is talking about these false prophets that lived in his day, and he says they're following after the way of Cain. Cain was of that wicked one, right? He was not righteous, and he wanted to go his own way, do his own thing, and did not repent of his actions. It speaks of envy of God's dealings with the righteous, of mere human religion, not of grace, but of human works. So, all of this, we find the friction between Cain and Abel, because Abel wanted to follow God and Cain wanted to go his own way and follow in the way of Satan. So, there's all of this conflict that is coming up here. And we find here that Cain refused to change. It's interesting. God had a conversation with him here. In verse 6, the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth or angry? And why is thy countenance fallen? What's the matter with you? Okay. If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted? He's giving him another chance. He says, you know, you can do the same thing Abel did. Bring the right sacrifice, have faith in me, and do what I say, and everything will be fine. He gave him another chance, didn't he? Just like he tells us today, you know, whosoever will may come. You know, if you're willing to come the way he prescribes, he's willing to do that. Scofield has a note here on verse 7. Can I read verse 7? Let me read verse 7. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now that's, we may not quite understand what all that says, so let me read this note. It says the word sin here, or sin offering, in Hebrew it's the same word. So the word for sin, sin lies at the door. What does it mean? It says in Hebrew the same word is used for sin and for sin offering, thus emphasizing in a remarkable way the complete identification of the believer's sin with his sin offering. Here both meanings are brought together. Sin lieth at the door, but also a sin offering lieth at the door of the tent. It is where sin abounded that grace did much more abound. Abel's offering implies a previous instruction, for it was by faith, and faith is taking God at his word, so that Cain's unbloody offering was a refusal of the divine way. But the Lord made a last appeal to Cain, even yet, to bring the required offering. So he had another chance, second chance here, right? And he could have made things right and been pleasing to God if he had done so. But he refused. Instead of repenting and making things right with God, he took his brother out into the field, talking with him, and then killed him. So we see sin piling on top of each other, right? One thing leading to another. He was angry, frustrated, upset with God and with his brother. And it culminates in this murder, the first murder that we find in history. Brothers. And so the Lord faces him up to it, and he says in verse 9, where is Abel thy brother? And you see, he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Can you imagine a mere man talking to God like that? Talk about the insolence and unrepentant totally. And he doesn't even apologize for what he's done. He doesn't repent in any way. He says, God confronted him with it. He says, I know exactly what happened. Your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. I know what happened. And he says, you're now cursed. You're cursed. And when you till the ground, it will not bring forth as much as it did before. It won't. You won't get as many crops. You'll be like a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And what does Cain say? My punishment is greater than I can bear. Who's he feeling sorry for? His brother? No. It's only himself. Total selfishness, right? My punishment is greater than I can bear. You're being unfair with me, God. Huh? He says, you've driven me out, and whoever finds me now will kill me. Lord says, okay, I'll put a mark on you so nobody will kill you. God was merciful to this man, even though he totally rejected him. You see? Cain had no intentions of following the way that God was outlining for him. God showed mercy to him, even in the midst of all of his rejection. So Cain goes out and starts a new civilization. In verse 16, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod. This is the place where they lived on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. So he's starting a family. People always want to know, well, where did his wife come from? Did he marry an ape? Not really. Huh? But usually they say, hey, but she would have to be his sister or a close relative anyway. I don't know how much time had passed. Maybe some others had other children and he married one of them. We don't really know. And it's really, that's not really all that important, I don't think. Back in that day, it was permissible at least. Today, you're not supposed to do that, right? Marry your sister. We find he went out and built a city, and he named it after his son. So you know he's starting all over again. And we find this is a civilization that has come down and developed down through the years. He had some of his descendants, it said, are the ones that kept cattle, dwelt in tents. Another one was the one who invented musical instruments. Said he's the father of those that handle the harp and organ. So all of these different things, the culture and all, is developing. And from a human standpoint, everything looks great. It's just that there was nothing of God mentioned in this whole thing. Cain and his descendants walked away from God. And that's what's happened in our world today. So many people have walked away from God. They might have their culture, they might have their life, but there's nothing about God. It mentions here this one especially, Lamech, who was the seventh from Adam in Cain's line. He's the first one to marry two women. You have to say he was a brave man anyway. But anyway, but still, that was wrong, wasn't it? I mean, God set the example. He made Adam and he made Eve, put them together, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. Isn't that the pattern? Yet this man comes along, well, if one's good, two's better. You know, I don't know how they got along, but anyhow, we find out that he went his own way and did his own thing. And thinks about his ancestor, Cain. He says, Cain killed someone, his brother, and he was to be avenged seven times. Lamech says, I have killed this young man because he was wounding me, and I should be avenged 70 times, 70 and sevenfold. So in other words, he's making up his own rules and law as he went along and not considering what God had said at all. In other words, that's the whole point about the line of Cain. They were ungodly people. And we see that later on it comes to a culmination when God brings judgment. But it goes on here to talk about the people that came after him. And then we find out in verse 25, it says, Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, she says, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. See, Cain and his descendants walked away from God. They didn't have anything to do with him. But now Seth and his family are going to call upon the name of the Lord. This is the ones that desire to know him and to follow him. So this is in contrast to the line of Cain, we find the line of Seth that believe in God and pray to him. The men began to call upon the name of the Lord. So it's evident today, I think, that the majority of people are following the way of Cain. You think most people are looking out for number one, right? And not concerned so much about others. They refuse to submit to God, determined to have their own way, no matter what it costs. Cain was willing to kill his brother in order to have what he wanted. And today, it's much the same. We find all kinds of things. People doing all kinds of sins simply to please themselves and not thinking at all about what God would say about it. Even though God has provided the opportunity for them to repent and have their sins forgiven, they continue to rebel. People say, oh, well, you know, that's your interpretation. God didn't really mean what he said. You know, there's other ways. I'll make it somehow. You know, we don't all have to follow the same pathway and make excuses. But Jesus gave himself, didn't he, on the cross as the Lamb of God, paid the price so that any person who believes in him could have eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? But both Cain and Abel were sons of Adam and inherited his sinful nature. They were both sinners. Abel had faith in the living God and offered the sacrifice that he required. God declared him righteous. Cain offered his own works and was rejected because he was not looking to God for mercy and grace. He thought he could make it on his own. I have a reference here in Titus 3. Titus 3, verse 4. It says, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." Excuse me. So this is the choice that everyone faces, like Abel, to admit your need, place your faith in God's plan of salvation, and be declared righteous, or like Cain, offer your own works to God, refuse his offer of salvation, and be condemned. Those are the choices. What will your decision be? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves. And may God help us to make the right decision in every area of life. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your word to our hearts this morning. And we pray that you'll help us to follow the example of Abel rather than that of Cain. May we love one another and may we serve you together. May we love our neighbor as ourselves and be faithful. We pray that you will forgive us for any and every sin. We thank you for the sacrifice of Christ on the cross to redeem us from our sins. And we pray that you'll help us to walk in fellowship with you. May your holy will be done, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.